Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. We're doing a series of stories about cancer this month, leading up to the release of the Ken Burns production, The Emperor of All Maladies. It starts airing on PBS at the end of March. The conversation around cancer has become synonymous with certain phrases and narratives.
Find cures. Find hope. Fight.
You
solve.
Wouldn't know it to look at him, but he's battling stage four lung cancer.
Together, and if you can turn this walk into a victory lap.
The cure is within.
The cure is
still
within.
Here. I'm fighting.
The cure is within.
I'm not losing myself.
Let's finish the fight.
Cures, conquering, fighting. This language has worked well for hospitals and groups like the American Cancer Society, raising billions in research dollars over the years. But there are certain words you won't see front and center. Death and dying. Some think that's a problem given that cancer is a leading cause of death in the United States. Alana Gordon has more on the language around cancer and how the discourse may actually be shifting.
Last fall, I shadowed this really intense training at a hotel just outside Philadelphia.
I fall into the trap of fearing of disappointing the patient.
It's not just the patient, it's their family.
It sucks.
All day, oncologists from around the region hashed out very openly and honestly their difficulties in having tough conversations with patients who have advanced or terminal cancers. What was so striking to me was that even for professionals, death is a hard topic.
I have a tendency to just want to push forward and do.
The kinds of treatments they get and the kind of death they have changes because of the way we talk to them.
That's Dr. Anthony Bach. He's an oncologist at the University of Washington and helped design the training. After it wrapped up for the day, Bach gave me what I thought was a really bizarre piece of advice for my own reporting. I didn't have my recorder at the time, so I caught up with him later and asked him to tell it to me again.
You had told me I might be careful about...
I said, be careful about using the word dying, because our sponsor for the course, the American Cancer Society, is a little touchy about the idea that you could die of cancer.
And I was kind of thrown off by this because part of that whole training had to do with having conversations with patients that may be at the end stages of life, correct?
Exactly, which is one of the hardest conversations to have.
It's so hard that Dr. Bach and the Cancer Society worry you might turn off the radio if I mention the D word. Vish Vishwana, a professor of health communications at Harvard, says that's understandable.
The reason, I think, for the skittishness comes from partly cultural, I think. If you equate success as life, then it's difficult to accept, lack of success, which is death.
He says there's political reasons why groups seeking public support might avoid addressing death head on.
If you don't talk about it very carefully, then you're attacked with a frame such as death panels, are cutting off treatment to deserving people.
A spokesperson with the Cancer Society confirmed their main slogans and campaigns don't feature the terms death and dying. If you do dig into their materials, you will find mention of it, especially in sections about preventing cancer deaths and about end-of-life care. But psychologists like Jeff Greenberg, out of the University of Arizona, have also found that people in general really aren't wired to react well to the word death.
When you bring death to the forefront of people's minds, they want to get rid of it. And so you're going to lose a lot of the target audience if you bring death to mind in a very blatant way.
Probably not a good tactic then for a group trying to raise awareness and support from its 2.5 million volunteers. Greenberg says the way we process death after that initial response is more nuanced. It can motivate people to do something if it's framed as a positive, if it creates hope and increases one's sense of self-worth. Too much fear, and the message loses its effectiveness.
We want to make sure that everyone has access to life-saving screenings. Why? Because we dream of a day when 3 out of 3 people survive cancer.
This is an ad from the Cancer Society. Marketers there have found that what does work are messages focused on preventing cancer, improving treatment options, early detection, and surviving. They're the, quote, official sponsor of birthdays. And probably its biggest campaign has been spearheading the war on cancer.
On our 100th birthday, we're going to amplify our efforts and lead the loudest, most aggressive, most unified assault on cancer we've ever made.
And those are campaigns that have really resonated for the public, I think, largely because, of course, people don't want to lose their lives early to a dastardly disease like cancer.
Rebecca Kirch is with the American Cancer Society. She's not in the marketing division, but she and another executive I spoke with say that internally, a major shift in content and even the language around cancer is underway.
We have not yet brought ourselves to the place where talking about difficult news, difficult challenges, a poor diagnosis, a poor prognosis, where we've really equipped people.
Kirch says you probably won't see death and dying front and center, but the society is taking on these issues with a newer, broader narrative called quality of life. It's in part a response to an aging population that more and more is dealing with cancer.
It's a pivotal time. This is sort of the inflection point that we've needed.
Kirch says in many ways that war on cancer has outlived its usefulness. It's faced growing criticism in recent years, even internally. It's not one war. Cancer isn't one disease. And many feel the metaphor implies that if you're dying, then you're losing. You're not fighting hard enough. Kirch says framing this new conversation around quality of life is a better way to engage people in those difficult, important issues.
If we keep forcing people to think about what they want as they're dying, we're missing out on the opportunity to really do that effectively by starting from where they're really focused. And that's on how they want to be living until they're dead. And I think that's an important nuance that matters a great deal.
Physicians like Dr. Anthony Bach, who's led those doctor trainings about how to better talk about dying and other tough issues, thinks the conversation needs to be more frank. More than 500,000 Americans died of cancer last year.
You know, those kinds of public conversations help us design policies and health systems that really care for people in terms of what they really need.
But he's glad to see the conversation evolve and realizes this isn't something that's going to happen overnight.
You know, these are culture changes and they take a long time.
For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.